That was a very long reading, wasn't it? And we have a three-year cycle of readings in the lectionary, and this is the year when we have these really long readings in Lent from John's Gospel. And you can't really, if you look at that passage, there's not really a way to like take just a snippet of it. Like to get the whole dramatic scope of it, you kind of have to read the whole thing. I'm not sure it totally works liturgically. It's like just a little bit too long in my opinion. And there's a reason why the older calendar didn't have readings that long in general. But still kind of nice to hear it on a Sunday morning and to think about its meaning for us. And it's a very powerful piece of scripture. The last 3 weeks we've had these long readings from John, and there's sort of a theme that I think has emerged from those readings, and that theme is, if I could put it in one word, evasion. Evasion, the way we try and avoid and evade the call of God in our life. And we see in each of those episodes different people attempting to evade God's call in various ways. So Nicodemus in John chapter 3 tries to evade the claim of Jesus by coming at night to see Jesus, and then kind of retreating behind his religious stature as a rabbi to approach Jesus as an equal. The Samaritan woman that we heard about last week, she tries to evade the claim of Jesus by hiding behind her gender and her race. She appeals to her different race, because she's a Samaritan, from Jesus, who is, of course, a Jew. And now the theme continues this morning, and we might guess because sort of the central character opposite Jesus in the previous weeks have been Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman, and today it's the man who was born blind. And we might guess it's the man who's born blind who's the one who's trying to evade Jesus. But actually it's a third character here, that's really not one character, but a group of people, the religious leaders, who are shown to be the ones that are evading the claim of God. These religious leaders, they're stubborn, they're hard-hearted, and they object that Jesus did this on the Sabbath day. They evade the claim of Jesus by hiding behind their religion and their understanding of religious law. That's a very profound statement. I don't know if it really hits you, okay? Think about that. Religion can be a means of evading and avoiding the call of God in your life. It might be a defensive tactic for you to sort of say, well, I'm willing to give up this much, but I'm not willing to give you the whole thing. That's kind of what the religious leaders are doing here. They want to claim God as their God, but they're not really willing to subject their opinions, their knowledge to the Lord. Now, I do want to sketch what's happening with the man born blind, because there's this sort of drama that unfolds over those 41 verses. But before I do that, I think it would be helpful to think about the reading from 1 Samuel. This comes from the period of the kings of Israel, and Samuel was the last of the judges. He was a great prophet. Think of him as a venerable, aging prophet of the Lord. He's an old man, an old wise man, okay? And he had first anointed the king Saul. He had anointed King Saul, and Saul failed in the office of being king. God rejects Saul for his disobedience, and the Lord tells Samuel at the beginning of our reading today that he should go to Bethlehem, go to the house of Jesse, and there I'm going to choose a new king, and you're going to anoint this one to be king. But the thing is about this whole experience is Samuel is going to have his expectations totally upset. He has a narrative in his own head, right? I'm going to Bethlehem. I'm going to Jesse. And of course, when I get there, it's going to be the firstborn son. And he's going to be handsome, and he's going to be strong, and he's going to be our guy. But all that will have to be upset. So God, of course, tells him that when he has this narrative, and when he sees Eliab, he says, no, this isn't the one, right? And he says, don't judge by your eyes. He says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. That's another really profound statement. Think about how much value we put in our external appearance or in what people think about us and the external markers for that appearance, or how much we judge others based on their appearance or the things that their material things that go along with him. God says that that doesn't really rank. It doesn't rank. And so if you're this is really important you hear this. If you're evaluating yourself and valuing yourself based on your outward appearance, it's based on a lie. Your value doesn't come from your outward appearance. Your value comes from that you're a child of God. So in a sense, Samuel is blind. Think about that. Samuel, he can see, right? Physically he can see, but spiritually he can't see. Spiritually he's blind because he thinks all these other sons, these seven sons of Jesse, must be the one. And each time God has to say, no, that's not the one. And isn't that like us, right? We have a narrative in our head of how things should go. We make certain judgments about what we need to do, but do you take the time to ask God what you ought to do? He might tell you something different than what the script you have in your head. Samuel is led to David, the youngest son. And the Lord directs him and says, this is the one. And finally, it's like Samuel's eyes have been opened. It's the spiritual eyes. Samuel's spiritual eyes have been opened. And he realizes, of course, this is the king. This is the man after God's own heart. So we have something, of course, similar going on with the man born blind. Of course, first he needs to see physically, but it's amazing how little space that healing takes up in those 41 verses. It's like in the first six verses, the healing's done. And then the rest of the drama unfolds because his spiritual vision now needs to be enlightened. He can see now, but he can't see with the eyes of his heart. And the drama comes from him sort of seeing more and more clearly. And you start, you know, his first confession is when he's asked, you know, who is this guy? He says, well, you must be a prophet. And then he moves later on when he's challenged, he says, the religious leaders, right, they keep pushing him. They keep saying, who is this guy? Yeah, how did he do it? And it's almost like their unbelief is pushing him towards greater belief. And all of a sudden, the man born blind realizes, actually, maybe I'm not one of these. Maybe I'm not with them. He says, you know, I don't know whether he's a sinner, but this one thing I know. Very memorable line. This one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. And of course, you know those words. They were picked up by John Newton, the great Anglican evangelical, the 18th century former slave trader, came to repentance, and became one of the great preachers of the 1700s, and he also was a hymn writer of some fame. And he wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. It is, in a sense, the unbelief of the religious leaders that push the man to believe, and it's the goodness of the Lord of the Lord Jesus that draws him to belief and to faith. At last, Jesus meets him, right? Jesus goes in pursuit of the man born blind. You think about that. The man born blind doesn't find Jesus. Jesus finds him. And he challenges him, do you believe on the one sent from God? And he says, who is he? Jesus says, I'm the one. And he says, I believe. The thing about faith is faith is not the self-assertion of our religious convictions. This is the most important thing I'm going to say this morning. So if you've been drifting here, now's the time to come back. Okay? Faith is not the self-assertion of your religious convictions. It's not what you've discovered about God. I know that's how we all think of it. It's not. That's not the real thing. The real thing is faith is actually the gift of God. All real faith is the gift of God. It is the confession that God, not that you found God, but that God has found you. God has gone in search of you.